It's the Dork Podcast. It's the Dork Podcast. Rich Keith. It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork, a very special episode as we talk Rogue One, a Star Wars story. My name is Rich Keefe. Ryan Davey is back. What's going on, Davey?
Good to be back. Good. I've got nothing but time on my hands, so, you know.
Yeah, I know. You're on you're on vacation, which is nice. So yep. You're just talking Star Wars. You saw the Star Wars. Did you see it in the 3D or did you see it in the 2D?
I saw it in the 3D IMAX.
Oh, boy. That must have been quite a thrill.
I treated myself. You know, it's the holiday season. Figured I'd be good to myself. I earned it.
I think you did earn it. You're closing out 2016 on a high note, seeing Rogue One, a Star Wars story. If you're new to Hashtag Dork, we typically will begin with This Week in Hashtag Dork. It's brought to you by our fine folks over at Mac and Goo, the Mac and Goo podcast, where we hit on some of the news and notes of the week. We are a little pressed for time. This will not be a full hour-long episode, but I wanted to make sure we got this out sooner rather than later. So if we have time, we will circle back to This Week in Hashtag Dork. I say we just get right into Rogue One. And as we always do, we will start out spoiler-free, and then we will get spoiler-full on the Star Wars story. So first things first, Davey, Rogue One, a Star Wars story, spoiler free, did you like the movie?
I did. I did like the movie very much.
Good.
And I think to get a little bit more in depth, I mean, it was
sure.
it was nice. Again, as a standalone movie, it was good. And I didn't think it was the nostalgia fest that Force Awakens was. I think it was, you know, kind of a new thing. And there were some subtle nods to fans. But
yeah.
They didn't really hit you over the head with it like The Force Awakens did.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when we have a Force Awakens episode, I did it with Opie. You can go back and check the archives on that one. But that I really enjoyed, but it was, you know, if you had watched A New Hope, you could kind of predict how a lot of things were going to go. It was still really good. It was still way better than all of the prequels, but it was kind of cookie cutter in a sense. Where this was, it was weird because it did its own thing, but it was very much in the parameters of, you know, it's episode 3.5, essentially, where you kind of knew how it was going to end, and you kind of knew maybe how they would get there and some of the fate of some of the characters and things like that, but you still didn't know how they were going to go about it. And so they did a really good job, I think, of within this universe, and you were well aware that you were in, like, the greater Star Wars universe, but they introduced a lot of characters that no one had ever seen. You know, maybe you read the prequel comic or whatever that came out before Rogue One, or some of the characters were inspired by, you know, some of the other video game characters or comic book characters, but they created their own kind of cast in here, and I thought a lot of them were really strong. Like, a lot of Jyn Erso, or her, but a lot of the crew that was, you know, part of Rogue One, they were pretty good.
Yeah, and I think if you're a big enough fan of the series, I think one of the things that it did is you now I have questions. We'll get to those later in the spoilers, but, you know, maybe our fans can point us in the right direction. But I have a lot of questions. But like you, I thought it was good, and like you said, it felt a little boxed in at times.
Yeah,
like what they could do, but you didn't really notice. It was just kind of a fun movie, you know.
It was definitely a fun movie. What did you think of the action sequences? Because I felt there was a lot of Star Wars in this movie, a lot of gun shooting and fights and blasters, etc.
Yeah, and I thought it was kind of cool. I mean, to see, you know, the beach scenes. You know, you see them in the trailer and stuff, so that's not really, you know, I'm not going to give too much away, but there's, you know, fighting on a beach, which is, you know, kind of cool. And I think this is one of my favorite in terms of how the movie was shot, and just in terms of visuals, I think this one might be my favorite.
Okay.
Like, you know what I mean? Like the scenery and stuff, like the exterior shots. I thought the places they went were pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. There was, what did you think? Actually, no, I'll save that for spoilers. But yeah, they a lot of it looked really cool. And it's funny because they have to sort of blend the technology, because on the one hand, they can do so much stuff with CGI and everything else now, but they don't want it to look crazy different than A New Hope and, you know, the original trilogy. So it is funny how, You know what they're capable of, and then they're like gathered around looking at like an image that looks like, you know, Sega Genesis or like NES.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I thought it was cool too that like there was one shot of like a Star Destroyer that I swear they did it old school with like a little model.
Yeah, they might have.
You know
I think
I, mean? Yeah.
I think they even had some footage from the original trilogy. I think I read that they sort of had some cutting room floor stuff that they're like, perfect, we can use this for this. Also a part of, this is spoiler free too, the opening crawl of A New Hope. And there was no opening crawl for this. That was already announced before. It's the first Star Wars movie where there's no opening crawl. But allow me, Davey, to read you the episode 4 A New Hope opening crawl. So cue the music. It says, "It is a period of civil war. Rebel spaceships striking from a hidden base have won their first victory against the evil Galactic Empire. During the battle, rebel spies managed to steal secret plans to the Empire's ultimate weapon, the, in all caps, Death Star, an armored space station with enough power to destroy an entire planet. Pursued by the Emperor's sinister agents, Princess Leia races home aboard her starship, custodian of the stolen plans that can save her people and restore freedom to the galaxy," blah, blah, blah. But that middle part there, Ryan, is what the movie is. They're like, we're going to take this opening crawl, we're going to take 3 lines in it, and then we're going to make a 2-hour and 13-minute movie based around that.
Which again, it feels like a stretch.
It kind of does.
I would never say that this movie was necessary. Like, you don't need this movie
to further
the plot of any, or, you know, deepen the plot of any Star Wars movie. I think they provide you with enough information. But there's certain things we'll get to in spoilers where I'm actually glad this exists.
I know exactly what you're going to say, and I agree.
Because
The
way they did it is actually great.
It's absolutely worth doing. It answers a huge question. And now, especially for people who aren't Star Wars people, who watch Star Wars and they would always make fun of you for a certain thing, now you have an answer to it. And so I would say with that, we can get into spoilers. But first things first, the hashtag dork Infinity Stone scale, where we rank every movie and or TV show on a 1 to 6 Infinity Stone scale. Davey, what do you got?
I'm going to give this a 5.
I agree with you completely.
In as much as that, it's a solid movie. It's definitely in that if you're a Star Wars person, you need to see this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But
for sure.
There are some parts that were a bit uneven. You know, so it's not perfect.
No.
But it's definitely something you need to see.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say that it is. Star Wars fans, I think, are going to like it no matter what. Non Star Wars fans, you might enjoy the movie, but I don't think it's going to mean a whole lot to you.
Right.
Like, I think, and again, most people who listen to a podcast called Hashtag Dork are Star Wars people, and you've probably already seen it, and you're like, just get to the spoilers already. But I think you'll love it, or I loved it. But yeah, certainly not a perfect movie. I wouldn't give it the full 6 out of 6. I think this summer we've given a lot of movies 4 out of 6, and this certainly is better than those, so I will give it a 5 out of 6. And then at the end, we'll rank all the Star Wars movies that don't include, like, the Christmas Ewok classic, and those are the 8 real Star Wars movies we will rank for you. All right, so now spoilers for Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. I think we may have said it on one of the podcasts. We were saying, like, all the new cool characters pretty much have to die, don't they? And
yeah,
they did.
And they did.
But it makes sense.
Spoiler of the whole thing. Everyone dies.
Everybody dies, and it makes sense, though, because if they didn't, I would have been annoyed, and I would have had more questions. You know, you said you have questions. I would have had even more. Like, well, then why didn't we ever hear of them at all? And don't just give me they went into hiding baloney. Like, you can only do that with so many Jedi that they went into hiding. They needed to die. And, like, it's great that you saw this story, and, like, Jyn Erso, we'll get into her and all in our character breakdown. She was good, but if she was still alive, something tells me we would have seen her in one of the 3 original films.
Yes. Or someone would have said her name.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, oh, yeah, by the way, you know. But,
they
you know, like you said, I mean, these people kind of needed to go. And it was the movie, and I think you kind of touched on this a little bit, too. It's not so much what they did well. It's not so much telling, you know, we know what happened, but the how and the why was what I was going into this movie thinking, like, they need to kind of flesh this out a little bit. They absolutely did. And like you said, you can't just baloney it and say, like, well, they're, we don't know what happened to them. Like, no.
Right.
Everyone's dead.
Everyone's dead. Everyone's dead now. Everybody's dying. But again, that made sense. And they did it in the right way, too, I thought. Like, they all had. And that was one of the things that was different about watching this movie is you're saying, well, they could really go at any time, too. I mean, maybe not any time. Like they literally had to steal the plans. But some of the other like somebody had to steal the plans. But like all the other characters, they could go at any time. Whereas you didn't really get that sense in the original trilogy, and so that was kind of cool and different about this. But they also incorporated enough characters that we knew we were going to see more of later on, right? Like
right.
Like some of like the main villains, including the best Darth Vader stuff we have ever seen.
Ever.
And that's saying something because, well, is it? Because he's done some cool stuff, but a lot of it is more implied. A lot of it is more the fear of people and the discussions. But this was needed. This, to me, this movie might have been plodding along at like a 4 out of 6 on the scale. And then the Darth Vader stuff moved it up a whole stone.
And I think I said to you, the last 10 minutes of this movie make the whole movie.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's you've seen the movie, so obviously you know, like, the last 10 minutes, there's a scene where, like, and I'm going to use some strong language here, so forgive you, get the kids out of the room.
Yeah, ear muffs.
You always have this sense in seeing when Darth Vader exists onward, that he's just kind of like, people know who he is and people just kind of get out of his way.
Yes.
And so you don't really see, he's kind of slow. He doesn't have to move quickly anywhere. And, you know, he just kind of, you know, people just kind of, they see him coming and they move or they like turn.
Right.
Like to not make direct eye contact. But this is, and they do an awesome job of showing you why he's the best, probably the best bad guy ever put to film.
Yeah.
Again, the strong language coming in, like, you see in Rogue One, this is a bad motherfucker.
Yes.
You know, when the room's all dark.
Right.
And all of a sudden you hear like the red come and he's just like standing there. You're like, holy shit.
Like, you know, he's so good too. And because they have, you know, the Emperor wouldn't have brought this guy back and like turned him into a half machine if he was just like an okay Jedi turned Sith. Like he had to piece them back together. Like he was basically burned alive, but he knew, he's like, no, this guy means business. So even with, you know, something breathing for him, like one real hand, I don't know what's going on with his legs. Like he's in bad shape, but he can still kill anybody with his hands and, you know,
in like large groups of people,
a whole mess of guys who are basically like guards and stuff. You know,
props to those guys who are just like the nameless, like rebellion guards.
Yeah.
Who did an awesome job of showing like this guy's scary.
Oh yeah. No, they sold. They sold it really well. They were like Dolph Ziggler out there selling for Darth Vader, who looked legit. Now, I'll say this too. After Revenge of the Sith came out, episode 3, I remember I liked the movie enough, but I was disappointed that was episode 3, knowing that A New Hope was episode 4. Because once you've watched those 6 movies, you were waiting. Like, I personally could have taken an entire film like the 10 minutes that Vader was in it, because he is built up so high in the original trilogy, but he doesn't do much. He's just like, they're like, holy shit, like, this guy, don't mess around with this guy. Like, oh God, it's Vader. Like, you know, pee your pants. But if you had a whole movie like that, I could take it, and it would maybe be the greatest movie of all time. Just him ripping shit up, going around pissed about Padme and his kids or whatever, and just killing everybody. That should be a movie.
And it was good enough in that 10 minutes where you're like, okay, now, you know, because there was the whole thing with Revenge of the Sith, it was a buildup of like how Darth Vader becomes Darth Vader.
Right.
And you were kind of let down.
Yeah.
You know, he turned into like, you know, Hayden Christensen's kind of like, well, he's pining. He's just like a whiny bitch.
Yeah.
And you don't really get, so you go from that to New Hope where he's like the baddest badass in the universe.
Yeah.
And there's none of that in between.
No.
And this kind of is like, okay, so this is how angry this guy gets.
Right. Yeah. So you finally see what he's capable of. So Darth Vader was the best part of the movie. And we asked you last week, you know, how much did you need to see of him? And I think you even said like 2 scenes. And that's what we got.
That's exactly what you got.
Yeah. That was
though. With him, you know, him just kind of, you know, being the Darth Vader we know in that first scene with Krennic.
Yep.
He kind of chokes them a little bit, just kind of like looking over his shoulder,
gives him the business,
walking away, just kind of like, you know, just kind of puts him in his place.
Think about
it
though.
At the end, Jesus Christ.
if you didn't have Darth Vader in this movie, it would have been wildly disappointing because
oh, absolutely.
Not only was it the best stuff, but if you don't reference a guy who is that, you know, intimidating and that powerful, then it sells the whole thing short. You're like, are you really in this? Like, that's one of my biggest complaints all the time in the, like, Daredevil and Jessica Jones. I'm like, why aren't you talking about the Avengers more? I'm like, they're in your world. You need to be talking about them more. So if Darth Vader and the Emperor are a part of your universe, they need to be brought up more. And so this was good. Like, this was good. They didn't need to go on and on and on about them, but they brought them up. Like, they referenced them a few times. Plus, they showed them enough. So that was pretty badass. But he definitely made the movie.
And to me, it was great because now he has, like, this, like, boogeyman quality to him. Like, people, like, saw that happen and, like, dude, I saw him rip apart an entire room of people.
Right, right, right. Yeah, now you're getting more witnesses to it where they're like, no, it's not just a story. I've also seen him, and it's terrifying. It's like, oh, yeah, remember all the guards that we used to have? Yeah, they're all dead now because of him. Remember the guys who used to watch that hallway? Yeah, they died.
You remember Tim?
Tim, he's dead in the hallway still. Yeah,
Tim went? He's gone now.
Vader killed him. Like, oh, no shit. Yeah, he is. He is more than a myth, that guy.
Yep.
But to your point in the non-spoiler, and it was the thing that I was thinking about while watching the movie, is the best explanation ever for the flaw in the Death Star.
Yes.
Because when you watch... go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry, when you see New Hope, you're like, oh, we found this thing. And be like, it was just like by chance, if we happen to do this one specific... And it was so specific that you're like, how the hell did you even know that was there?
Right, and you're like, also, if you're designing that whole thing, you're like, wouldn't you have thought of, you know, like, covering that? Or like they make fun of it in Family Guy, too, when they do, like, their whole Star Wars thing. But it's such a, if you're a Star Wars fan, you just kind of, like, look the other way, and you're like, well, you know, they had to blow it up somehow. But then if you're watching that with somebody who's not really a fan, and they're like, are you kidding me? Like, the whole point of this movie is to, like, shoot it in that little hole, and then that whole thing blows up, and you're like, well, yeah. That's kind of how it works.
But they knew it was there, so, you know, they did all their due diligence. But it was great to see Galen Erso be like, no, I put it there on purpose. Like, it's there so they would never find it.
Awesome. And he's like, I knew somebody was going to make it. It might as well be me, and I can design a flaw so it can be destroyed.
Yeah.
You're like, God damn it. Like, that's perfect.
Like, but now, like you said, I mean, it doesn't take away from... It doesn't take away from A New Hope, but what it does is it provides depth. You're like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, there are so many times that people try to go back and they muddle it.
Yeah.
This goes back and it actually clarifies it. Be like, no, it wasn't just some thing that they, in looking over the blueprints, they found it. Like, no, someone put it there on purpose for them.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. Like, the prequels, the three, because this is also technically a prequel movie, but the three previous prequel movies, like, how much depth do they really add? You know, like, we kind of know where they have to finish. It's just like this movie. You know how it has to end, but how do they get there? They can take all their different ways. And so, you know, like, you know, the Obi-Wan, Anakin Skywalker fight's pretty good. Like, you knew it had to happen, and you knew what the end result was going to be. But this sort of takes a question that sort of, again, got kind of brushed off or just, you know, mocked, and now you provide a tremendous answer for it. So the two best parts of the entire movie are Darth Vader and giving a reason for why the Death Star could be blown up. So based off of that, how did you think that it fit within the series? Like, knowing that there's now 8, this is essentially episode 3.5. How do you think it fit in?
Well, I immediately went to, like, you know, my mind goes to what are the quote unquote the haters going to say about this? You know, and I think the people who missed the point are going to say that this is a cash grab for Disney, that this is, you know, they want to put out a Star Wars movie every single year, so this is a way to kind of build upon the franchise and make a little bit more money, because I think it had, like, the biggest opening weekend ever, or one of them.
Yeah.
It had the biggest Thursday night pre-sale or pre-showing ever.
I think it was $155.1 million for the opening weekend. I don't know where that ranks, but yeah, the tickets were, it was a hard ticket to get, I'll tell you. I ended up, you know, finding a loose single in, like, the middle rows on the end. But people were all over. There wasn't an empty seat in the showing that I went to.
But to answer your question, I mean, how does it fit in with the rest? I don't think it was necessary to do this, but I'm very glad that this movie exists. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I think these are the types of movies, like, you know, Avengers movies and stuff like that. Like, these are the reasons you actually want to go out to the movies.
Yeah. Oh,
you know, these,
exactly.
Like, grand spectacle things. Like, I think if you wait to rent this and you watch it on like a 50-inch TV, like, you're missing something.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, you know, they do the whole thing with, you know, Lucasfilms and the Skywalker Studios is like that. They pay so much attention to the sound and where noises come from. So if you're sitting in this theater and, you know, you hear blasters behind you, you hear ships on either side. You know, I mean, it's the reason to go to the movies.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree.
And for me, it takes you back to that like little kid and like sitting in a theater and it's huge. It's the biggest screen you've ever seen. And you know what I mean?
What did you get for a snack?
Oh, I was, you see, I snuck in a Monster Energy drink.
Look at you.
Going to see Rogue One. You know, I'm sneaking stuff in.
Yeah, you know what
I still went in? I went with the old number one combo, which is the large drink, large popcorn.
There you go.
You know, so it came in the commemorative Rogue One bucket, which I don't know what I did with it. It's somewhere around.
The Rogue One bucket. Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
I snuck in for the first time in years a couple of nips.
Hey, atta boy.
I said, you know what? I'm going to buy a $5 Coke. Or no, I think I got a Dr. Pepper or whatever I got. And I had a couple of little Captain Morgan nips and put those in.
A little of that.
Yeah,
because you're a rogue.
I'm a rogue. That's what I said to myself. I go, nobody's looking. I'm just going to dump this right in here and keep the good times rolling.
You're a rogue yourself.
I did have an issue, though, because I normally don't get a drink during long movies. And halfway through the movie, I had to go pee-pee. But I was like, I'm not going to miss Vader. There's no way I'm missing Vader. So I kind of uncomfortably held it for another hour and a half. But either way, it was a win. But to your point about seeing it in the big screen, I think, you know, I know they re-released the original trilogy, but I don't think I did not ever see them in the theater. And so this is really the first time that I've seen Darth Vader, with the exception of the end of him just screaming at the end of Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
First time I saw Vader on the big screen. And so that alone was pretty badass. And that'll still be cool on TV, but it won't translate as well.
Right. I agree.
Now, there was a shitload of Easter eggs. You talked about how maybe they didn't hit you in the face with so many things. There are so many Easter eggs. Again, there are probably much better places if you wanted to find all the Easter eggs than this podcast. But,
right. You
know, a lot of the vehicles obviously were like the exact same or some slight modifications. A little shout out to the blue milk. There was a blue milk
in the beginning.
Scene of the blue milk. Oh, so they squeezed in R2-D2 and C-3PO. Did you think that was necessary?
No, I did not.
I was like, God damn it. Like, it was one thing if they were going to have, like, Princess Leia, you know, give the plans or whatever to R2-D2 or at least have her. But just to have them, like, as their own thing, and just so a couple of idiots behind me can clap, I was like, I don't need that.
Yeah, no, they kind of wedged them in there, and they didn't have to.
They're like, they're in all the movies, and now they're in this one. And you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
I was like, I didn't need to see that. How about Jimmy Smits? How about Bail
Jimmy
Organa?
Smith. Who hasn't aged in, like, 20 years?
He looks tremendous.
He looks the exact same.
He looks tremendous. It brings up every time I think of Jimmy Smits, and I've mentioned this on the podcast, the Krusty the Clown was trying out different ideas for shows, and it was NYPD Shoe. He's like, it's like, it was not a winner. It was not a winning situation, but I always think
but
of that.
It was a great, I think that's the first time they've ever made a nod to the prequels.
Ooh. Yeah, they did not mention midichlorians. Or pod racing.
But they did mention kyber crystals, which is like they've never talked about those before.
Yeah, that was new, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, but
we'll get into
all that stuff. Mon Mothma back.
Back, which is she, and this is what kind of threw me when I talk about like uneven.
Yeah.
Like why go through like you had another actress play Mon Mothma.
Yeah.
Right? Who looked just enough like her where you're like, oh, yeah, that's who that is.
So
right? Apparently
she was also in deleted scenes in Revenge of the Sith. This same actress was. Because they used her in that movie, too.
But, so you went through the trouble of locating someone who looked enough like the original actress.
That's right.
And then you do a complete CGI Grand Moff Tarkin. Where it was cool and it was good.
Yes, it was.
But it was you could definitely, as soon as you see his face, you're like, that's not a real guy.
No, you knew it wasn't a real guy, but don't you think that guy is at least way more well-known, and especially in Star Wars universe? I mean,
maybe
people are
then, like,
fanatics about everything, but like a Mon Mothma lookalike, I think, is one thing. But to get a lookalike for Tarkin, yeah, I don't know.
my point is like you had Mon Mothma in like three scenes, but then you had Tarkin in like four or five, in like really important scenes with close-ups. So you maybe don't use that as much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Where yeah.
It was a bit distracting for me.
Speaking of distracting, what did you think of the Princess Leia CGI at the end?
I mean, that was kind of cool because you saw her from behind and you're like, are they going to show her? Are they not?
Yeah, then they show her face and it looks like a rubber mask. That looked like when Wes Welker was wearing the Tom Brady mask, although that might have been more convincing. I was like, what is this? Yeah. Her lips are all wrong.
Yeah, face. I mean, to me, it was kind of like that. Were they, weren't they going to do it? Like,
yeah.
It would have been kind of lame if they just showed her back and her and like heard her voice.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it was okay. Like, I didn't mind. I mean, this is where it misses the six for me when I talked about it being uneven. Like, you went through the trouble of casting a woman who looked like Mon Mothma, and then you put these two CGI characters and you kind of shove R2-D2 and C-3PO in there. Like, that was like, it was like fan service, but it was kind of lame.
Yeah.
You know?
I hear you.
But,
what did you think?
Yeah.
What did you think of, I think it's Cornelius Evason or Evason? I don't know how to pronounce his name. And Ponda Baba.
Ponda Baba.
The two assholes that pick a fight with Luke Skywalker in episode four. They were there trying to pick fights as well. The guy with like the pig nose.
Yeah. I don't like you.
That got a cheer. I got a cheer
when I was there too. But the only problem I had with those, that's like, and that's one of those subtle nods where people are like, oh, cool. You know,
yeah.
Like put those two in there.
The only reason that the
Rogue One team got off of Jedha is because they were not inside the city when they blew it up.
Oh.
How the hell did those two assholes get off the planet?
They were on their way out. I don't know.
like maybe, but like it was a complete surprise to everybody. Like they blew out, they obliterated the city of Jedha.
Yeah, Jedha went down.
And like how did like literally minutes later, after you see them on screen, the city blows up, and you're like, well, how the hell did they get off?
Oh boy, loophole.
I
don't know about that. I don't know where they went. What did you think of them labeling all the planets? Like on the screen, like you know what I mean? Like they would like type out on the screen like Jedha.
I didn't notice it until you mentioned it, but now I'm thinking about it and I'm like,
I don't mind it.
Usually just call them by. I don't mind it.
I don't mind it normally. Like they do it in Marvel movies a lot, and they, you know, sort of like Guardians of the Galaxy. Every time they went somewhere, they'd put it up on the screen. Even Civil War, they would be there like Paris. And you're like,
right.
Okay, got it. So I don't mind it. You know, it kind of makes things a little bit easier.
I've never seen them do that. I've only heard them mention planets by name.
Now,
they've never looked. Oh, we're going to, you know.
Yeah.
We're going to Alderaan. We're going. You know what I mean? They don't really Naboo. They don't ever like label it. You know.
No, they don't. They don't put like the script on the or the print on the screen. But they rapid fire like name check it. Like they're just like nonstop. They're like, oh, it's good to be in Coruscant. They're like, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
We got you.
Let's
get into the and again there's plenty more Easter eggs as well, but those are some of the ones that jumped out to me. The character breakdown here, Davey, thoughts on these characters. Let's start with the main character, Jyn Erso, played by Felicity Jones, who last week we played a little game called Mary Smooch Murder. Where the three star ladies, I guess you would say, Padme aside. Mm-hmm. It was Jyn, Rey, and Leia. I thought she was really good, though. I mean, she was still the person I think I would ultimately murder if I had to out of the trio, but I thought she was really good. She didn't annoy me at all. I liked her character. She was kind of a badass as well, and like a nice little story. Like, we're introduced to her, and we see her, and then she is, you know, a real game changer, and then dead.
And just gets to work, yeah, and then she's gone.
Yeah.
I thought she was good. You know, the conflicted character, kind of like a harder character, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Daddy issues is a theme throughout the movie.
Sure.
Throughout the movie.
Sure it is.
So it was good, but it was nice to, you know, the connection with her dad was good. And, you know, she was fine. You know, she was good.
Yeah.
Solid character. She's dead. So
dead now. Yeah. Oh, sure.
But the one wild card, and I'm looking at stuff like this, and this harkens back to the nod to the blue milk. That is a Skywalker family drink, typically. Right?
Is it? I don't know. I mean, I know they drink it there, but I think it's actually, you know, those like those big ass like Snuffleupagus things with the horns.
Yeah.
I think it comes out of those guys.
But my point is that drink is typically associated with the Skywalker family, which leads me to question, who is her mother?
Oh, boy.
Is she, you know, is she...
Well, we saw her. Did she get killed or no? She just got
taken. No, but I mean, like, they refer to her as Lyra Erso.
Oh, boy.
But what is she a Skywalker? Is she... What is the connection to Rey?
Oh,
what is the
God.
Connection to this? You know, so my mind's spinning now. Like, if they have the blue milk, can they drink the blue milk?
You're thinking too hard about the blue milk.
I mean, it's there for a reason.
Yeah, for, you know, calcium.
They live in isolation.
Calcium, good bones, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Blue bones. Fresh blue milk. I don't know. Everybody's drinking blue milk.
She could be somebody.
But do you need her?
Going on about the Force. You know?
On and on and on. Do you need her to be somebody, or can't she just be a person in the universe?
She can be. I mean, but isn't it more interesting to speculate whether or not she's connected to the Skywalker family? If she's like a cousin or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to speculate, but I kind of like the fact that she is just Galen Erso's daughter. Like, her dad built the Death Star. Like, to me, that's enough. I don't need her to be a cousin.
I'm talking about the mother, her mother.
Oh, the mother.
Who dies in the beginning of the movie.
I don't know. What was her maiden name?
That's exactly my point. We don't know.
Maybe it was Skywalker. Or maybe she was related to Boss Nass, the underwater guy that hated the Gungans.
Wouldn't that be a weird twist?
Like, imagine if she was the underwater princess. What did you think, Davey, of Cassian Andor? He, of course, was the Rebel Alliance intelligence officer played by Diego Luna.
Good character. Tough to understand sometimes.
Yeah, he talked a little bit fast. I'm accused of that as well at times.
No, tough to understand meaning like literally tough to understand.
That's what I'm saying. Like, did he, because he had the accent and he kind of talked fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was
had a little bit of, yeah.
I mean, he is no Han Solo, sir.
No, he's not.
Kind of dressed like him a little bit. He's no Han Solo.
You are no Han Solo.
You're no Poe Dameron, sir. Yeah, he was fine. I didn't love him. He didn't ruin the movie for me, but I'm not going to go out and buy a Cassian Andor action figure.
Glad he's dead.
Glad
you don't have to put up with him anymore.
Do you think, he did steal a smooch from Jyn Erso. Do you think he stole anything else?
We don't know.
Do you think,
we'll never know.
Yes or no, do you think he slept with Jyn Erso?
No.
No. Yeah, they were on screen a lot. There wasn't a lot of downtime for them. They were pretty busy.
Exactly.
They were busy not getting busy.
Right.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God. This whole thing was a mistake. What about Orson Krennic, the director of advanced weapons research for the Imperial military, played by Ben Mendelsohn?
He was good until he got into the whiny stuff.
He was
I want to be in front of the Emperor. And they're like, Vader chokes the shit out of me. Like, shut up.
You stupid ass. I'll tell you, a white cape or like a grayish cape, not a good look on anybody.
No.
Pull off. And he only had like four or five throat lozenges on his jacket. So you knew he wasn't too high up. Asshole.
Yeah. No, but it was good, you know, that he was supposed to be like this ultimate badass, and then he just gets absolutely bitch slapped by everyone above him.
Yeah, oh yeah. And then Tarkin's just like, screw this guy, and then now Tarkin, that's how he becomes Grand Moff, I believe. It's just by taking care of business here with Ben Mendelsohn. We had, I believe, was it Shirut Imwe, the blind warrior who believes in the Force. He is said to be the Guardians of the Wills, played by Donnie Yen.
He was my favorite out of all, like, the Rogue One team.
He was awesome.
And I think it's – have you ever seen any of the Ip Man movies?
No.
Like, they're great.
I know who you're talking about.
And all.
Yeah, but is Ip Man, like, it's dubbed, right? It's not, like – I feel like I did start watching an Ip Man, and it was
– I watch it with subtitles, so I don't like the dubbing as much as you do, but I watch it.
I hate dubbing. I hate it. It's so distracting. I would rather read the subtitles. But anyway, so he's good in that.
I do, too. But he's good, and he plays the, you know, the teacher, Bruce Lee's teacher, basically. Like Wing Chun Kung Fu. But anyways, like, he's unbelievable, and he's a huge Chinese action star. But, I mean, I'm thinking the whole time, he's probably one of those, he's like a Jedi in hiding. I just assumed that they say he's just a real fan.
Yeah.
But I think he has to be a Jedi, right?
I don't know. I feel like he could have been at the right time. Like, if he got recruited and was, like, taught, he could be. Because he definitely had some of the skills. I was hoping to see like a lightsaber out of him or like something.
But my point is like he's probably like a Jedi in hiding because they killed all the Jedi, so he's like
hiding.
You know
maybe.
What I mean?
No, that's I don't think
thought.
So.
That's how I choose to see it.
No, and that's fair. But don't you think he would have shared that information with the Rogue One crew?
No, you can't trust any of those people.
No, that's true. They're rogues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get him killed.
He was pretty badass, though. Oh, do you think him and his buddy like joined forces with them a little kind of easy?
Again, this goes back to me thinking he's a Jedi. He recognized game in the Jedi world.
That's true.
I mean?
He did sniff out her crystal necklace.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so that's true. I'll give you that one. He's like, this is what we need to be doing. Do you think Jyn Erso is a Jedi?
She's force sensitive.
All right. Well, maybe they're both force sensitive.
Yeah. Which
what's their midichlorian scale?
My argument that there's some point they're related to the Skywalker family.
Do you think
maybe distant cousins?
Yeah, you like to think of them as distant cousins.
Yeah.
Do you think they slept together?
Everyone's sleeping with everybody there. You know, it's like a soap opera. It's one of them like swing. It's like a swingers party in there. They all throw their keys, their spaceship keys, in a bowl and just go nuts.
Yeah, I don't see why. I mean, what's the difference there? Especially, you know, you got a shelf life. You're like, we're not making it through this movie. We might as well get down to business.
Yep.
Galen Erso, Jin's father, played by Mads Mikkelsen, of course, also Doctor Strange. Yeah.
Him and Tom Hardy are like becoming like my favorite actors.
They're
like
good.
This guy can do anything.
Yeah, he was good. I liked him.
Yeah,
he has some
great
good
actor
stuff.
And like he's usually, you know, he's kind of like a bad guy, kind of creep.
Yes,
but this one there was like a sensitive side to him, you know, Stardust and all that stuff. I thought that was really good.
Yeah, good guy with an edge.
Yeah,
a little bit
and
of an
you
edge.
Could easily buy him as somebody who's like a double crosser.
Yeah. Know? Oh God. Yeah. Yeah. What did you think of the hiding place that he had for Jyn? That just sort of like that hollow rock.
I mean, if he's an engineer, he knows how to make that stuff.
Yeah, that was that was good enough, I guess.
Yeah,
it worked. Yeah, but he was good, and then you get to see like a few different sides of him. You got to see him sort of as the father there for a little bit, trying to defend his family. Also, him as sort of the double agent. Cool scene when you know. Right before one of the big little, not big, but one of the kind of battles there where they're about to kill all the other engineers. And he's like, no, it was me. And they're like, yeah, okay, fine. And they're still going to kill all these other guys too. I'm like, holy smokes.
Yeah, now you can watch.
How about the droid voiced by Alan Tudyk, K2SO, who got to be the best droid ever, right?
A best droid and a little lame like at times, but – I thought it was the movie needed a little levity at times, and I think the timing for that was perfect with him.
I thought he was good because I feel like, you know how like the jokes that R2-D2 makes are like implied, like we don't know what he's saying, but like he's making jokes. I feel like he would have a similar voice as this guy.
Right.
You know, because C-3PO is just a knob. You're like, what? Okay. Like, fine. Like, he just plays such a clean-cut, lame ass, whereas this guy... He like hated Jyn Erso for like most of it. It was just like making fun of her. But he's also very useful. Like he's a badass. Yeah, I liked him. Now, we never see droids like this ever again. So that's the tricky part is anything if you're gonna introduce something in the prequels, there's gotta be a reason why we never see it again. And I don't know what the reason would be necessarily for not seeing any guys like this.
Right. And you might again. But, you know, BB-8's a little – he's a little wild card. He just doesn't really talk as much.
No, BB-8 – I mean, BB-8's R2-D2 in soccer ball form.
And I think there's different – obviously, there's different types of droids. You know, like with C-3PO is like a translator. And, you know, BB-8 and C-3PO are kind of like, you know, helper droids.
Yeah.
They'd be flying or navigating or whatever. So there's definitely different types, you know.
No, I hear you.
But he's the probability droid telling you like how and you know what a great nod to Han Solo with Cassian Andor being like don't tell me the odds.
Yeah, no, I like that.
Calculating probabilities, like shut up.
That was a good scene when he like lets her keep the gun and he's like, do you know what the probability is for using that gun on you? he's like
no,
I don't
care.
He's
like, you want to know? No,
no,
it's really high.
Yeah, it's really high. He's like, shut up. Yeah, no. So he was good. I enjoyed him. One of my favorite characters, I think, Shroot Inwe or whatever his name was. He was really good, but the droid was good as well. What about the Imperial pilot who defects to the Rebels, Bodhi Rook, played by Riz Ahmed, who was the lead character in A Night Of, or The Night Of.
Yeah, and kind of useless.
Kind of sucked, and all I could think about was him shoving drugs up his asshole from that TV show. So, that talk about distracting.
I mean, he was a good way to advance the plot and saying, oh, this is how you're going to get into the shield. This is how you're going to get into, you know, the place where, you know, Galen Erso was being held.
Yeah.
Like this, you know, so you needed a kind of imperial person to do it. He didn't look very imperial.
No.
And he was wearing like seventh grade biology lab goggles the entire time.
Yeah, he was rocking.
He didn't pull them down like once.
No, it's like a Catwoman thing when she has the goggles for a while and other characters go goggles. I'm like, yeah, you don't need those.
Yeah, right. It just, I just thought it's just like, fine, just whatever. He's part of the team. He helps. He gets the transmission sent out. He's fine.
Like, he might have been the worst character, and he wasn't even, like, that bad, to your point, but that just sort of says, like, how good the group was, where, like, he's fine, and he's probably the worst. Because Baze Malbus, the rebel warrior who was good friends with Shroot, I'm not saying that name right, but the guy who was boys with the blind guy who had, like, the jetpack.
Yeah, yeah. He
that
had
was
a little Mandalorian flair to him with the big, like, Jesse the Body Ventura Gatling gun laser thing.
That was a sick-looking gun. He was legit. I liked him. He had a great rapport with the blind dude. Like they were a nice team. They, like, not that you would make an entire movie based around those two, but you could almost see it. You're like, yeah, these guys, there's a story there, like how they became friends and like what's going on there. Like, those are two more great kind of characters that are in this entire universe. Those guys were sick. Mm-hmm. Saw Gerrera, played by Forrest Whitaker, veteran of the Clone Wars, and what was cool was, you know, he was also kind of half machine, just like Darth Vader. And
that's what I said, he's like a good guy Vader.
He was a good guy Vader. How about this, though? He's like too rebellious for the rebellions, so it's almost like he's the best guy. Like, he's not just a good guy, he's too good of a guy, because he wants things to go well so much that we almost can't even trust him because he's such a wild card. But yeah, he's limping around on his even stilts, and you know he's breathing the gas, and his hair is all wild.
He's even got like the ghetto respirator.
Yeah.
You know, but this is one of the things that we didn't really talk about yet in terms of the plot that I actually found was good, in that, you know, when you get to episode four and everything's like hunky dory in the rebellion and they're unified and like what they want to do and how they want to do it, and in this movie they're like, they don't really know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was a kind of refreshing, where they're like kind of arguing about, you know, do we fight, do we disband? And here's a guy who's an absolute zealot who we have to kick him out because he's a little too extreme.
Yeah, right. Like, this guy's tapped.
Like, we need to kind of, you know, you're a little too crazy for the crazy, so we need to get you out.
Yeah.
But like I said, it was good, you know, to see that they weren't always, you know, this one rebellion that was like, you know, clear and purpose and mission, but they were like, there were people who were just like, I don't know what the hell to do now.
Right.
Until this comes along, this plan comes together.
Yeah, yeah. What did you think of his like creature thing that he wrapped around Bodhi, that like blob who like knows
like
the truth?
Octopus. Yeah. the truth to puss.
It was like a land octopus. Yeah, that thing was gross.
And the accent kind of threw me, but you will lose your mind. And he doesn't really lose his mind.
No, his mind was fine. He didn't lose it at all. And then obviously we already talked about Darth Vader, who was the balls in this.
Come on.
Anybody else that we miss? Miss anybody?
No, that's everybody. That's an exhaustive list.
That's an exhaustive list. So again, Davey and I both, I think we feel the same about this one. And so we both really liked it. Not the greatest movie, like not a perfect movie by any stretch, but very, very good. And now I think this is where it gets interesting. If you had to rank the Star Wars movies, and I think we're probably going to have to get out of here on this. If you had to rank the Star Wars movies, Davey, 1 through 8, or do you want to go 8 through 1?
Oh, boy. Okay,
or
let's do eight. It's easier to do 8 through 1.
All right, so let's try to let's each do our own list, but I bet it'll be pretty similar. So the worst movie out of the 8 would be what?
Phantom Menace.
I agree. I have Phantom Menace 8th on my list, which of course is episode 1, but I'll tell you what, number 7, which I am assuming we both have as Attack of the Clones, you could flip-flop them. You could because Darth Maul is pretty sweet. You could flip-flop them, but the first one sucks. The kid's terrible. But then Hayden Christensen might be worse. So Those are like far and away the two worst. So let's go Phantom Menace 8, Attack of the Clones 7.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going with 6?
I'll go Sith, or Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah,
I'll
me too.
All the prequels in order.
Yep.
Like, they got better as they went, but they're not good.
I agree. And this one had more, definitely more stuff. This is more of an enjoyable movie. Like, I definitely didn't hate it. It was, we talked about it last week, like, it got kind of at the end, and it was, like, a little overboard, but good. Like, they I guess, got better, but, like, it was such a low bar to start with. So I'm with you. Revenge of the Sith is 6th. Number 5?
Number 5 would be, for me, and we're going to get some heat for this, Return of the Jedi would be 5th.
I also have it at 5th. Yes,
okay.
We have the same list so far.
I was going out on a limb there.
Nope, not at all. I think the Ewoks and all that other, it just kind of, you know, you watch that one again and you're like, this isn't the best. Yeah. It's not bad. I mean,
The Ewoks killed it.
The Ewoks did kill it. Yeah. All right, number 4.
Number 4, I would put Rogue One.
Okay, so I have these flip flopped. I assume, because I have Force Awakens 4.
Okay, so I have that they're flip flopped then.
So you know what it is I might be one of these people that if I watch these two in different order, I might have them ranked differently. Yeah. I liked the Vader stuff to me was so good, and the explanation for the Death Star having the flaw and some of the new characters I liked more. And even though ultimately I knew how it was going to end, it still wasn't as cookie cutter as Force Awakens was.
And I think it's that refreshing aspect that pushed it a little bit, you know. But so I would put it there. I put Rogue One 4th for me.
Okay.
And it's 3rd for you. So we flip.
Yes. Yeah, we flip-flop those two.
I would put Force Awakens 3rd.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, we flip-flop those, but they're very similar.
And then, so we can do 2 and 1 now, which I assume will be similar.
Yes.
New Hope is number 2.
Yes.
And Empire is number 1.
Absolutely.
That's not even a question. Yeah, I mean, to me, it's not even a question. You get the one that started the whole thing and you know, you introduced the universe, and then probably the best sci-fi movie ever put on film.
So then if we wanted to even make this unanimous, we could say Empire Strikes Back number 1, A New Hope 2, tie for 3rd, Rogue One and Force Awakens, and then 5th, Return of the Jedi, 6th, Revenge of the Sith, 7th, Attack of the Clones, and 8th, Phantom Menace.
That's exactly it.
Yep, boom. We just did it. Mind blown.
We just did it. Look at that. And we rarely agree on things like this, but that was. And for the record, we did not agree upon this before the podcast.
No, we didn't. We threw that together right now. And that is how we're going to have to bid you adieu. I think I'll slap together an ending here, Davey, but I will say goodbye to you as we need to, or I need to get going. I know you're on vacation. Yeah. You got nothing but time. I, however,
I
do not have nothing but time, but
where can to be fair, I hear two kids crying in the adjacent room, so I should probably get to that.
So you need to go as well. Thank you, sir. I will talk to you soon, and don't worry, I will plug your Twitter and Twitch here coming up forth.
Okay, great.
All right, and by the magic of radio, I am back. Magic of podcasting through the radio. All right, anyway, as promised, a real quick look in this week in hashtag Dork, brought to you by our friends at Mac and Goo.
Just in time for the holiday season.
Whoa, Mac and Goo action figures.
That's right. Now you can play with your favorite podcasting friends. Play as Mac.
I even sometimes wear socks when I'm sleeping.
Play as Goo.
Steve Buscemi was the father the entire time.
Whoa.
Hot dogs are hot dogs. Hot dogs are hot dogs.
All characters sold separately. Available anywhere. There's an Osco drugstore.
All right, there you go, Mac and Goo. Check them out, macandgoo.com. They're on the iTunes. They actually just did a crossover podcast with the guys from the Boxers podcast. If you want more Rogue One stuff, I believe that is their latest episode, so you can check them out there. Real quick, want to point you out to a couple of trailers. John Wick Chapter 2. Hello, Keanu Reeves posted that up on the blog, and we tweeted that out at Dork Podcast. That's going to be probably pretty sweet, I would imagine. Blade Runner 2049, they made like an announcement trailer type thing, Harrison Ford and Ryan Gosling. That doesn't come out till next October, but it does look pretty good. Casey Affleck hosted SNL this past week, and it was fine. Just like a lot of times with SNL recently, that you get the one really good or two really good skits. They had a Dunkin' Donuts skit, which was good. And I would also say The Walking Dead mid-season finale, actually liked it. I actually enjoyed the mid-season finale. They decided to, you know, use all their characters and not just focus on one or two. So it ended up being really enjoyable. And I'm sure that the second part of the season, once they pick up the second half, that first episode will be good. There'll be like 6 crap ones, and then they'll end it pretty good because that's kind of classic how they do things on The Walking Dead. So there you go. That's this week in Hashtag Dork, abbreviated format today. We also have the pick of the podcast brought to you by Idle Hands. If you're in the Boston area, check out Idle Hands in the Malden area, not just the area, the actual town slash city. They are there. Davey wanted to mention The Last of Us 2, so check that out. I've been watching some of the Scientology stuff that Leah Remini's doing on A&E. Maybe I'll get into that more on the next episode, but that's been pretty good. That's going to do it for our episode here. At Dork Podcast on the Twitter, dorkpodcast@gmail.com. You can check out R. Von D for Davey on both Twitter and on Twitch. And if I don't talk to, or if you're listening to this before Christmas, Merry Christmas to all the hashtag dorks out there. Hopefully you get all the crap that was on the last episode with all the gifts and things like that. So thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork, and we will talk to you next year, maybe before next year. I'll talk to you.